Blog Talk Radio.
Come back to me, oh.
Sultan.
Tune in weekdays at 5 o'clock p.m. to Live in the Day with Jay on blogtalkradio.com. You can listen or call in by dialing 347-945-7405. Again, that's 347-945-7405. And that's the voice of the community. So tune in to Live in the Day with Jay on blogtalkradio.com. And now, back to the show.
You are now listening to Live in the Day with Jay. Now go get him, Daddy!
Welcome to yet another great show. We have a lot to talk about. We got a lot that we need to discuss. I'm going to take one more quick break. And when we come back, we should be joined by none other than Jabril Huff. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about what's going on with this Donald Trump thing. You guys are definitely live in the day with Jay.
Man, I'm not looking for a boo thing. I'm looking for something. You know, go to the beach, chill at the park. You know, no strings attached. You know,
Shorty, nice to meet you. Swag when I see you. I just wanna ask you, girl, would you be my lady? Baby, cause I want you.
Ain't no feelings involved, and ain't no going no dates, ain't no hitting the mall. I need the love for this summer, waiting on fall to reach. So I make a love rain down, then we fall asleep. She know a position, the roads will be flipping. I only see you after 12, man, she know it's no kissing. They say I got my pimp hand strong, I don't work it out. A missed call lead to a text, she wanna work it out.
Shorty, nice to meet you, swag when I see you. I just wanna ask you, girl, would you be my baby, cause I want you in my life.
Friend, I met her over the summer, and that's when the love began. I admit that I had my share of requests, I ain't accept them all. Had a few chicks that was down, but mostly set the ball. I ain't into all of the weave and facial makeup. I want the kind of girl still beautiful when she wake up. She can take up all of my FaceTime, I run the club, but I make the trip in the winter to see my summer love. Had her out in public, niggas thought we was dating. Girls giving the looks, you know how them bitches be hating. My bitch bad, looking like a bag of money. She whispering in my ear, she keep telling me that she love me. Asking for a name, said it was nice to meet you. Then asked her on a date, said it'd be nice to treat you. I ain't running games, you got all of them wifey features. And I'm just trying to ask for the privilege of right to meet you.
Shorty, nice to meet you, swag when I see you. I just wanna ask you, girl, would you be my lady? Baby, cause I want you.
Oh,
your features. Got me reminiscing and thinking about the old school when we were fever. Kissing under the bleachers, touching and fondling, hugging. Man, it ain't nothing like that good summer love.
Look me in my face and tell me that when I come up here,
good job,
that you don't think it's for you.
I mean, really?
You know what I'm trying to say? I want to see you. I saw you. Look in my way. I'm trying to free you. You want to get away any day? I'll be your relief. I ain't got tricks on my sleeve. But I got trees, we can cruise to the beach. If you in the mules, tell me where you wanna be. I'll take you there, we can go anywhere. I mean, anywhere, I got time, shit.
I'll be your night angel, me nervous. You let me, I won't harm you. We can grow closer, get stronger. I just wanna know.
Come on, let's go.
If you're ready, we can go where there is so much that we can share.
I mean what I say, and I say what I mean. I see you still kind of iffy about it. Well, it's like this. I can be the reason why you're staring at the clock. I can be the reason why you're looking at your watch. I can be the reason why you're looking forward, rock. I can be the reason why we're pulling off the dock.
I'll be your night angel, be nervous. You let me, I won't harm you. We can grow closer and stronger. I just want to know.
Come on, let's go.
If you're ready, we can go there. It's so much that we can share.
Look what you gotta say, a yay or a nay. I hope you don't stray and go the wrong way. You know it feels right, but don't be uptight. I can wait for the love and settle for the light. I'm doing this because I settle for the type that saw me as a buzz, a high to their life. Now I know what's up, being fly ain't enough. Unless you got wings and was sent from above.
I'll be your night angel, be armor. If you let me, I won't harm you. We can grow closer and stronger. I just want to know if
you're ready. Come on, let's go.
If you're ready, go there, there is so much
that we can share. It's a go right here. The lifestyle is a yes. We can be the best, or better yet, the greatest. Everything fresh. We can make the haters put the bullshit to rest. The haters put the bullshit to rest. Nah, I don't see that shit happening. But we gonna still do us anyway. You ready? Get up out of here. Get out of here.
Are you tired of that stubborn belly fat? Would you like to lose weight and change the way you live? Well, look no more. Contact Health Consultants Mr. Ernest and Ms. Tanja Owens at 980-245-6294 to take the Project 10 Challenge. That's 980-245-6294 to get your body back in shape. Again, that's 980-245-6294. Or to get more details, go to www.crunchtime.bodybyvi.com.
To the show. Number to call is 347-945-7405. That number again is 347-945-7405. We're going to wait momentarily for Jabril Huff. I really want you guys to hear what he has to say. He is the one that has been, he's went to a few Donald Trump campaign rallies, and he's been ejected from everyone that he's been to. But I want you to know why it is that he feels that he needs to do this. And we're going to talk a little bit about Ms. Rose, who is the young Muslim lady that was ejected from the last Donald Trump campaign rally in South Carolina just a few days ago, a little over a week ago, for absolutely no reason, which I think is crazy. On this day, Dr. King's real birthday, January 15th, we really need to talk a little bit more about what it is that we're trying to get accomplished in the communities, because what we're trying to do, we have not been able to get them done yet. And it's really a sad situation when we take the day off work, when we say that we are for Dr. King's progress, when we say that we adhere to everything that he has done for people, not only his people, but all people. And we take this for granted, and we don't do what the prescribed blueprint is. Because if we did, I could promise you, our communities, our schools, our neighborhoods would not be in shambles like they are now. So that's something we really, truly need to think about. And as we wait for Jabril Huff to come on the show, I'm going to play a clip, very interesting clip. It is a clip where Dr. King spoke about if he had have sneezed, he was, let me make this clear to you. Dr. King was at an event, and he was signing autographs, and a young African American female come up to him, and instead of getting an autograph, she stabbed him. Yeah, she stabbed him. And you got to forgive the music that's in the background on this clip, because I got this clip when it come to me, and there was a little theme-based music, as you can say, that was along with this clip. But I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen to this, and then I want to hear what it is that you think might be the problem, or if we are still living with this mentality today. Here's the clip, Dr. King, if I had sneezed.
And I want to thank God once more for allowing me to be here with you. You know, several years ago, I was in New York City autographing the first book that I had written. And while sitting there autographing books, a demented black woman came up. The only question I heard from her was, "Are you Martin Luther King?" And I was looking down writing, and I said, "Yes." The next minute, I felt something beating on my chest. Before I knew it, I had been stabbed by this demented woman. I was rushed to Harlem Hospital. It was a dark Saturday afternoon. That blade had gone through, and the x-rays revealed that the tip of the blade was on the edge of my aorta, the main artery. And once that's punctured, you're drowned in your own blood. That's the end of you. It came out in the New York Times the next morning that if I had merely sneezed, I would have died. Well, about 4 days later, they allowed me, after the operation, after my chest had been opened and the blade had been taken out, to move around in the wheelchair in the hospital. They allowed me to read some of the mail that came in, and from all over the states and the world, kind letters came in. I read a few, but one of them I will never forget. I had received one from the president and the vice president. I've forgotten what those telegrams say. I'd received a visit and a letter from the governor of New York, but I've forgotten what that letter said. But there was another letter that came from a little girl, a young girl, who was a student at the White Plains High School. And I looked at that letter, and I'll never forget it. Said simply, "Dear Dr. King, I am a ninth grade student at the White Plains High School." She said, "While it should not matter, I would like to mention that I'm a white girl. I read in the paper of your misfortune and of your suffering. And I read that if you had sneezed, you would have died. I'm simply writing you to say that I'm so happy that you didn't sneeze. And I want to say tonight, I want to say tonight that I too am happy that I didn't sneeze, because if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1960. And students all over the South started sitting in at lunch counters. And I knew that as they were sitting in, they were really standing up for the best in the American dream, and taking the whole nation back to those great wells of democracy which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1961 when we decided to take a ride for freedom and ended segregation in interstate travel. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around here in 1962. The Negroes in Albany, Georgia, decided to straighten their backs up. And whenever men and women straighten their backs up, they are going somewhere, because a man can't ride your back unless it is bent. If I had sneezed, if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been here in 1963. Black people, Birmingham, Alabama, aroused the conscience of this nation, brought into being the Civil Rights Bill. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have had a chance later that year in August to try to tell America about a dream that I had had. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been down in Selma, Alabama, to see the great movement there. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been in Memphis to see a community rally around those brothers and sisters who are suffering. I'm so happy that I didn't sneeze.
And I'm happy you didn't sneeze, too. Dr. King. Now, after hearing that, are we doing everything that we need to do as a people? Black community, I'm going to talk to you a minute. Are we doing everything in our communities that we need to do to get each other over that hurdle? Or are we still poignant and stagnant in the smelly waters that have kept us still in our communities and outside of our communities right now for the last 60 years? As much as I hate to say it, but it's the latter of the two. We continue to keep ourselves not on a positive note, but we continue to fight one another. We continue to combat with one another. We continue to be jealous, envious, hateful to one another. And you got to ask yourself, is this what we need to do? Is this the dream that Dr. King had? I can promise you it's not. Take time real quick to thank Chicago, Philly, and Little Rock, Arkansas for joining. We get ready to have a great season, guys. I got a lot in store for you, a lot. I got a lot of things that I'm going to expose you to. I got a lot of things we're going to talk about. Speaking of talking, bring my first guest on here. This brother has been all over the place, has been making noise everywhere, has been doing exactly what Dr. King was doing. And it's time that we really start to look and see what his mission is all about. So, welcome to the show, none other than my brother, Jabril Huff. How you doing, brother? How you doing?
I'm good, brother. Peace. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm good. As-salamu alaykum, brother.
Alaykum as-salam.
Brother, man, you have been all over the place. Boy, I tell you,
yes,
you remind me of Where's Waldo? And, you know, tell the listeners a little bit about who you are, and we're going to get right into the nitty-gritty after you do that. Tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, you know, deep down inside, I'm an activist. I'm a Muslim, of course. I came to Islam in 1991. A lot of my influences before becoming Muslim were Dr. King and Malcolm X, along with hip-hop. So that's where my vibe is coming from, and I think I've held true to that. The essence of hip-hop, conscious hip-hop, is telling the raw truth and facing injustice, you know, oftentimes in a way where people might not like it or it might be hard to swallow. So that's kind of where I've come from, and I think I've held true to where I came from, and I think it's important that we never forget where we come from, no matter where we end up. So yeah, that's
right.
Don't want to use up too much time saying where I came from and not speak to the issue at hand. So I just will lay that on you for right now.
No doubt. Hey, you know, I'm gonna give you all the time you need. Okay. We know that Donald Trump has gone overboard in the things that he is stating about Muslims here in America and outside of America abroad. He is a character. I'll say that. I'll take that one. And I know that for the last few rallies, his campaign rallies, you have been going to his rallies in peaceful protest, and it always end up the same. But for my listeners who have been on Mars, tell them, what is your motivation behind it? What are you trying to get accomplished when you go to the rallies, Donald Trump, in the last few weeks that he's been having?
Well, first of all, when Trump first got on the scene running for president, a lot of us looked at him as a buffoon, didn't take him seriously. And mm-hmm. and many of us still look at him as a buffoonish figure. But we have to take him seriously because he's very close to getting the Republican nomination, very close to becoming president. And I said it when he got on the scene. I told several people, I said, don't be surprised if you're not seeing your next president. I just said that.
Oh,
and shortly after that, I mean, he really began to rise. And it's important to face him because the things that he is saying will take this country back to a time that we haven't seen in many of our lifetimes. It would take the world stage back, I think, to a place that many people in the world haven't seen in a very long time. He's talking about deporting Muslims or keeping Muslims out. He's talking about a database, talking about internment camps. He's talking about some very extreme measures, and many of these things could actually be done if he becomes president. So we have to face him. We have to call it for what it is. We can't pussyfoot around, act like it's not happening. And it's not just people like myself. Non-Muslims. It's even Republicans. I've had some Republicans reach out to me and show me some support, but I need them to come into the light and face mm-hmm. Trump. We have to be serious about what Trump. Even Glenn Beck, I was told today on his radio show, said if Trump becomes president, it would be worse. And a lot of them don't like Obama, the people he's talking to. He said it'd be much worse than Obama. Mm-hmm. Because he's ego, he's all about his ego. He doesn't really care who he harms or whatnot with his words or his actions. So we could really be going down a bad place. And I've been traveling, not just to the rallies, but I've been traveling. I've been in New York. I've talked to people on the street, Muslims on the street. And Muslims, you might not think, are really engaged in the political process. They know that if Trump becomes president, it won't be good for them. And that's what they're saying. That's what they know. So as I decided to go to these rallies, first we grouped a group with the intention to counter Islamophobia, which is not just mm-hmm. the fear of Muslims, it's the hatred of Muslims. It's like racism. It's a form of racism, so to speak. We decided to go. It's much like the strategy in the civil rights movement that Dr. King used, where you would have to do things at a certain time to expose the racist system or racist person when you knew that the media would be around and they would notice. So we started going to these events. And really, for me, I compare it to like being a black man in a Klan rally, especially when I was in Aiken, because they were curious about me before I stood up and said anything. But when I stood up and made it clear about who I was, a Muslim, unapologetic Muslim, making a statement, they pounded on me. If you look back at the picture, especially the first picture they took when all the action broke loose, look at some of the expression on those faces. The same expression on those faces were the same expression on some of the faces when they would lynch a black person back in the day, and they would have tailgate parties and picnics. And you look at the faces of the people, the hatred, the excitement and the hatred and the anger on their faces. These are the same people that are the underbelly, the energy behind the Trump phenomenon. It doesn't mean that everybody who has a soft heart or may vote for him as a full-blown racist. But the energy and the underbelly are the same folks that King faced. And that's why I felt very connected and very inspired as I was there, especially after I looked back at what we did and what I was doing. I felt very connected with King. And even last Friday night, when I was thrown out and put in cuffs, my purpose in my mind was so clear and so full of purpose that, I connected because this is much
now,
like
have
work.
I don't mean to cut you off, but have you or do you think Trump knows who you are right now?
I believe he does. And if there's any doubt that he doesn't, I know that his top aides know, because when I went to Rock Hill, the rally in Rock Hill, his aides and his top security was trying to get me thrown out once it was noticed I was in there. They spoke to the police, but the police, the head of the police there assured me I had a First Amendment right to be there. I mean, if I wanted to stand up and say something, I had that right, but I would also be escorted out. So in essence, I really didn't have the right. It's just I wouldn't be arrested. But his aides, even some of the security people even told me to leave without even doing anything wrong. So, yes, you know, they watched all the video from the Aiken rally and the pictures. They knew who I was. And, yes, they're very aware of who I am.
I commend you, brother. I so much commend you. You know, and a lot of people who don't really know you, they don't understand. You know, you're no dumb cookie. I mean, you went to the police department and you found out what your rights were, and you were able to exercise those rights wholeheartedly. And you do it without the base of fear. And, you know, that fear thing has kept us down for a very long time, and it's continuing to keep us down. But as you explain, or as you walked us through the atmosphere of the Trump rallies, the thing that bothers me the most is it bothers me that Trump is who he is and he's saying what he says. But what really bothers me is the fact that we got so many people who follows him, who believes him, who is willing to fight for him. And those are the ones, as you stated before, that could very well put him in the seat to be the leader of the free world. And that is a scary thought. So I know you guys have a plan in action. First and foremost, do you think he's going to come to Charlotte, North Carolina?
I think, I think he eventually will. You know, South Carolina, Iowa, New Hampshire, Vermont, all those are early states. But the second tier of early states, I think North Carolina falls in there. So I think he will eventually make his way to North Carolina. He might not pound the pavement as much as he did in South Carolina, but I think eventually he will come to North Carolina, and he may even come back to South Carolina before the primary.
So actually, you actually feel that he has a legitimate chance as of right now to win the presidency?
Yes, I do. I said it early on. You know, legitimate, I didn't really use that word. I just said, you know, we might be looking at the next president. And now, as time grows on, this guy gets stronger and stronger. So unless some of the other candidates figure out a way to fall out and support one over the other, you know, that could happen, and they could beat Trump. But at this point, unless something changes, if it continues to go like it's going, He's got a pretty good chance of definitely locking up the Republican nomination, and who knows in a general election, because Hillary Clinton is not really exciting in many people.
Exactly.
Maybe some she is, but you know Bernie Sanders is showing some promise. I would hope that he could win the Democratic nomination. I think he would bring more excitement and more support from the people that I know and some of the issues I'm concerned with than Hillary would. In the Republican group, you see the only one that's really different than Donald Trump is Rand Paul, and they kind of kicked Rand Paul to the curb, so he didn't even want to play with him the other night because they kicked him to the curb. The rest of them, really, Trump is not that much different than the rest of them. It's just his rhetoric is higher and more in your face. But when it gets said and done, he's not that much different than the rest, because he's the monster that they created every year, especially since 9/11, these politics of fear that they've been playing. He's just a smart businessman, and he knows how to play with it. and manipulate it to get what he wants, and that's what he's doing.
Wow. Wow. Now, if you can, and I know Miss Rose, Sister Rose is not on this phone call with us, but you were there when she was removed also in Rock Hill, correct?
Yes, yes. I was there.
Okay.
We were all a part of the same group, about eight people, who decided to go. And you know, Rose and I decided not sit together. One of my concerns was her safety. I know how I was treated in Aiken. I didn't want her to be in the middle of that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we decided to split up. She sat in the row kind of next to me, but not really that close to me, but in the next row to row to my right. And I sat to the row to the left and stood up. We didn't really say when exactly we were going to stand up, but we probably felt like we were going to do something when issues of Islam came up. And what happened was he kept saying, we got a problem, we got a problem. And he was talking about Syrian immigrants and radical Islam, something to that effect. And I didn't know they were going to stand up. I just said, well, this is the time. You know, this is the time. So I stood up. I said, you know, Islam is not the problem. Islam is not the problem. That's what I was saying. But we know once you stand up, it doesn't matter if you stand up in silence or if you stand up and use your voice. They really can't hear you because all the Trump people start shouting Trump, 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 like some kind of science fiction, you know, thing,
wow.
type thing going on. They really can't hear you. But once that happened, one of his security guys just ran up the steps and put their hands in my chest and said, you know, something to the effect where I warn you about that or something. I mean, just shouting at me and put his hands in my chest. So I, you know, pushed him back because he had no right to touch me. And then that's
right.
when the Rock Hill, the regular Rock Hill officers, police officers, came down and really started grabbing at me like I was a piece of meat or just robbed a bank, which it was very disrespectful how they were trying to take me out of there. I was trying to keep my balance. And then they put me in cuffs and took me outside. And during that same, right after that, within probably less than a minute or so, that's when Rose and the people that were sitting closer to her stood up. And but nobody touched Rose. She got shouted at, and people said rude things to her on the way out, which was disrespectful. But nobody you know, grabbed her or anything like that, which I'm glad. So, you know, her treatment was better than was much better than mine. But her being a Muslim woman wearing hijab brought more, I guess you could say, brought more sympathy and light. Just like how, going back to the civil rights movement, how children were used, and King used children in the movement. It got criticized at times, but it also brought more attention and brought more sympathy to what was going on to make change and draw attention to what happened. And that's kind of what happened in Rose's case. So we all ended up outside at the same time. I did not get arrested because, like I said, I spoke with the head cop on duty in the building, and he told me, you know, don't worry about it, you know. But his underlings really didn't understand what was going on, and they got caught up in the drama of pulling me out. So when the chief came over, he told him that, you know, I'd take the cuffs off me. They wouldn't charge me anything. They were trying to trump up a charge, and the pun is intended. You know, they were even mentioning resisting arrest. I'm like, resisting what? I was defending myself against the top security person, and you guys were dragging me like a piece of meat. So,
wow.
You know, I thank the head cop there in Rock Hill for his professionalism, because we had talked earlier in the night, and everything was clear, and he was true to his word, and he made sure his officers did not take more advantage than they were trying to in the beginning with me. So that's kind of how it happened in Rock Hill. And in Aiken,
wow.
You know, I actually got jumped on by the Trump supporters once I stood up. So, you know, it was much more worse in Aiken as far as with the Trump supporters, even though Friday night in Rock Hill, you know, I had people saying, get the Muslims out of here, looking at me, and, you know, remarks like that were going on throughout the night. But I remained calm, because when you're doing work like this, if you have the mission, just like in the civil rights movement, if you have the mission, you have to remain disciplined, and you can't, you know, lose focus of what the ultimate goal is. And the ultimate goal was to speak truth to power in that room, which was Trump, and expose him, you know, not really necessarily, you know, get caught up in a shouting match between some people that, you know, will take a long time to reach, and you know, you're going to get thrown out before you even have a chance to say your piece.
If he agreed to speak with you, would you agree to it?
Yes, 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 I would. You know, I think he would have to, you know, stop the circus, which I don't think he's going to stop until he wins. And if he wins, who knows, he may not stop then. But I've always been a person that's willing to sit with anyone. And at times I've been criticized for being willing to sit down with someone that I strongly disagree with. But I'm not the kind of person who will close the door if someone invites me to speak with them. Doesn't mean I'm going in to kiss anybody's butt or anything like that. But if somebody wants to speak to you, you speak. Yeah, I mean that's the way. But you're not going to talk to me any kind of way. You know, I want to
take them back one more time. When you were removed by the police and they were handling you in a very rough way, what kind of things were they saying to you as they were walking you outside?
Well, once they walked me outside, they were really not saying anything to me at that point. They were really talking amongst themselves there for a minute, trying to figure out what they were going to charge me with, which is really kind of strange, because if you grab somebody like they were grabbing on me, you already know what you're going to charge me with, or you're going to keep your damn hands off of me. You know, so
right.
They were really talking amongst themselves, trying to figure out what they were going to charge me or if they were going to charge me. But at that point, it was more like what they were going to charge me with. You know, like they felt like they were going to charge me with something until they spoke with their superior who told them, no, you're not going to charge him with anything.
So do
but
you think at this
moment,
point Trump and his – go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, at that moment, or during those moments, when they cuffed me and I was going outside, man, I mean, I felt as free as a bird. I felt my purpose was clear and free. And then again, you know, connecting with those who fought in the civil rights struggle, like King and many others, who had to face vicious racists and had to face cops who were abusive to, you know, get the ultimate goal.
Wow. I sat and I watched all this unfold, and, you know, and I said to myself, I say, you know, in the spirit of Dr. King, a lot of people should be looking at this and should take the seriousness, the totality of the seriousness of this, and really analyze where they want or what they want for their country, for their families, for their neighbors' families, for you know, everything that's in existence around them. You know, I'm seeing is about to be changed, and it's not going to be changed in a good way. And, you know, it's scary times right now we're living in. It's scary times to know that people actually feel and think and are willing to act upon those feelings in the manner that they have act. Because I did see a couple of the videos where you were in South Carolina, and the atmosphere was nasty. It was very nasty. And you're right. It does remind you of the Jim Crow era of the civil rights. Those same actions, those same scenes, it seemed just the same. So, you know, I definitely commend you for everything that you're doing. And, you know, it's time to speak out, and it's time to start combating some of this foolishness that's going on, because this is a bunch of foolishness. And, you know, and I know there's other nations looking at us, and they're shaking their heads right now because this is a bunch of foolishness that's going on. And, you know, I just don't understand how he is continuing to gain popularity. I know it's a circus show. It's just like Jerry Springer. When Jerry Springer first came out, people were all on it. And Jerry Springer has been very strong, even though we all know it's fake. We all know that they're staged and all the fights and everything. But they like the drama, and they're continuing to make ratings. I don't want this to be another Jerry Springer.
Yeah, and the Trump thing is, it's kind of like a reality show, and it's much like Springer, but it's also real. It's also something that can be very real, not just something that you can turn on TV and watch and get some kind of weird laughs at or whatnot. This is something that can be very real. It's something that could be a 4-year term at least if he wins. So we have to take it seriously. He's tapped into the George Wallace type people, and it's not just a South thing. I'm not just saying the South, but I'm just
right.
I'm speaking of the people that I've been around, which is in the South. It's in South Carolina, but it's the same George Wallace type people and campaign to a certain degree that he's doing, raising these people up. It's the same people that George Wallace called to, it's the same people that Dr. King fought against. And in a certain aspect, it's hard to believe that he really believes everything he's saying or everything
yeah.
he says that he will do. Because I truly don't believe he believes all of those things, but I believe he's a businessman and he's playing this game. He's playing it like a business and he's playing it down to the T. But the danger is, if he becomes president, if he wants to, he can do a lot of these things. And it would
wow.
take America back. They're talking about making America great again. Well, it's actually going to make America hate again. And for many people,
wow.
America really never
wow.
has. And for many people, America really has never really been great yet. You could argue, it's been good, and it may have been better. It really is not great yet. I mean, we're still trying to live out the promises of democracy and freedom and all these beautiful things that we'd like to promote, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and all these things. We're still trying to make it work because when it was written, it wasn't written for everyone. It was written for rich white landowners. So ever since then, people have been struggling trying to be included in that so-called American dream and that promise.
Holy cow. I'm not going to hold you much longer, but I do want you to end with, if people are listening to you right now, what do you want him to know or what do you want to say to him and his people right now?
Well, a couple of things would be the message that I have been bringing to the past two rallies. Islam is not the enemy. Islam is not the problem. And stop with that. Stop playing to people's ignorances and emotions. If you want to make America great again, like you say, then you have to be a principle. You have to be based in principles. You want to make America safe again or safe. You can't be playing with people and making blanket statements and trying to go to these extreme measures. Those extreme measures will not make it safe. It has to be grounded in the principles that America is supposed to be about: freedom, justice, and equality for all of us. Not some Nazi era type programs and thinking. And I'm not really making that analogy to Hitler, exactly, because he's not there yet. Of course, Hitler had to start somewhere too. So I'm not really saying he's a Hitler, but I'm just saying some of those ideas are from that era. Nobody can argue that. But that's what I would say. I would say, stop the circus. If you want to, let's have a real discussion. Stop trying to just throw stuff out there and then catch up with what you said, the next day. Because what you're saying is harmful to people. Hate crimes have increased in this country against Muslims as his rhetoric has gone up. So that's what I would say.
brother, I want to thank you, man, for coming on the show and continuing to fight the good fight in the legacy of Dr. King, Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Sojourner Truth, all of the truth that they try to expose and keep alive. Keep doing what you do. God willing, you will definitely get your chance to say what you need to say. I would like to see you say it to him personally. But nevertheless, continue to fight the good fight. Is there anything you need the listeners to know before we get off there?
Well, I would just recommend that the listeners, if there's anyone out there who has any, if there's anything they're unsure about as far as what Muslims believe, and is some of what Trump's saying true, and you know all these kind of things that sometimes I know fall in the minds of people who really might not know, I would say, you know, contact, you know, find a Muslim, you know, a practicing Muslim that you work with, your neighbor, contact an Islamic center. You can go on the web and get information. I mean, sometimes the web is misleading, depends what sites you visit. But there's ways to find out, you know, who Muslims are and what we're really about, and, you know, to get beyond the fear, because we can't live our lives in fear and ignorance. So that's what I would encourage people to seek out the truth. And once you find the truth, you know, you'll be able to expose and see people like Donald Trump for who they are.
Wow. There you go. Brother Jabril Huff, I appreciate you coming on the show, brother.
All right. Thanks a lot, brother. Anytime.
All right. Peace, and you be safe, and many, many blessings to you.
All right. As-salamu alaykum.
All right. Wa alaykum as-salam. Number to call is 347-945-7405. That number again is 347-945-7405. I'm going to go to the phone lines real quick before we take a break and hear what you got to say. Caller, you're on the air. You there, caller 289? Area code, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, sorry. I want to talk about some important stuff right now, like Chipotle closing for a day on February 8th. That's more important than this bullshit you're talking about. And also, I got to get them tasty burritos, motherfucker. Yeah.
All right, talk to you again, caller. Yeah, that's part of the deaf, dumb, and blind that we deal with in America. Number to call is 347-945-7405. Number again is 347-945-7405. Guys, we're going to come back in a little bit, and we will listen to a little bit more of Dr. King. You guys are definitely, definitely live in the David J.
Grounds be in my grasp, but life's quicksand be mad turbulent. Never fall in love. push on. Cause it's urgent and mandatory. It ain't about the fame and the glory, but the struggle to stay on top takes muscle. Hustle every day, swinging a 9 to 5. My life is paycheck to paycheck, tears and sweat. No time for friends that wanna fake and become foes. I roll solo down the yellow brick road. The sign up ahead states my future's 80 miles away. I'm trying to reach my destination before day. Hey, how you doing? I'm just passing through. While all the while I'm checking my rear view for any sudden moves. Problems, they took them in to try and outbox me. My name is Drake Rock, cause the road's always been rocky. I give the finger to the grim reaper. It's not my time to die, so I'm saying bye, bye, bye. Escapism is a miserable.
What's up, world? You already know who it is. It's the big homie Ambush, a.k.a. the Southern Secret. And you are now live in the day with the brother Jay, blogtalkradio.com, Green Light Inc. It's a go. It's official like a referee with a whistle. Let's get it, man.
Welcome back to the show. For my listeners, I apologize for you guys that you was exposed to that last caller. It is what it is. We got people who have nothing better to do but to disrupt my show, which is okay. You get that every now and then, but it's okay. I don't let that stop, you know, good things. For those of you who are just joining us, we were talking to Jabril Huff. He is from the North Carolina area, and he was made national news. He had went to a couple of Donald Trump rallies, and they were removed. Now, moving on, and I can promise you I will not be talking about Chipotle restaurant or whatever the hell it's called. We have to really stick up for what's going on in our communities. There's drugs in an all-time high on some communities, prostitution, high school dropout. Those are things that we need to really look at and that we really need to make sure that we help fix for the outlook in our young people's lives. Because our young people are going to be the ones that finish this. I keep telling you guys that. And if we don't give them the tools to finish this, then they will be lost. And I don't want any of that on my hands. I know you guys don't, but I don't want any of that on my hands. Number to call is 347-945-7405. We don't need any of that. What we need is we need a plan to ensure that our young people are not going to go the wrong way. And if that plan consists of the blueprint that Dr. King laid out, then we need to apply that. If that plan includes the blueprint of other leaders, then they don't have to be black leaders. If it includes positive growth in a community and for our young people, we need to implement that. We have done a lot that has gone the wrong way. We have done a lot that we should have or should have not taken for granted when it comes to the success of our young people. And I see you guys on. I see you guys wanting to comment, but right now I don't want to have any callers right now. So I appreciate you, but I see you guys wanting to comment. But when you have a voice and a platform where you can reach people on a positive level, because that's what this show is about. I don't know what you guys might think this show is about, but this show is about positivity. Yes, I have controversial guests on from time to time, but this show is about positive outlook, positive reinforcement. That's what this show is about. This show is not about the buffoonery. I will not let this show be Jerry Springer. Or you will not come on my show and talk about silliness. That's just how that's going to go. We will continue. This new season is going to be full of great people on this show that's going to bring some very, very great rhetoric, that's going to bring some very, very great interviews, that's going to bring some very great ideas so we all can get to the next level. That's what this is all about. This is about securing for our young people. And those of you who are listening right now that have children, don't you want the best for your children? Don't you want your children to be able to openly express what they want to be, who they want to be, how they're going to attain that in life? Don't you want your children to live without fear, strains of fear? I'd like to take the time now to thank everybody that listens to the show, that supports the show. Guys, please continue to support the show, because this is the only way we are going to get to the next level if we continue to support one another. I love you guys with the greatest love that I know, and that's the love of God, because he gives it to me each and every day. And so as I say to all of you, peace and many blessings. You guys continue to love one another and do the right thing. You have definitely, definitely, and live, David, hey.